Open our hearts to hear his voice today. May our praise rise up to please him. Let us worship in spirit and truth. Well, good morning. I am so glad that you've decided to join us this day on this, what is it, second Sunday of August? Boy, is it flying by. But we're so glad. And those on Facebook, we're so glad that you've joined us. And I know we've been having some problems the last couple weeks, and we're glad that you're able to join us today. You can find a copy of our bulletin on our website, www.fbc-elon.org, and you can follow along, or you can just look on the screen behind me and follow the scripture and the songs and everything else. But we are so glad that you've joined us today. Looking ahead for the announcements this week, this Tuesday we'll have Golden Years Bingo and birthdays at 1:30, and if you want to go see Sandy or Kramer or anyone that's involved with that, they'd love to have you come and help. On Wednesday morning at 9:30, the kids will go to the movies in Graham. And then at 6:30 that night, we'll have choir practice. You'll hear more about the August in-gathering in a few moments, so I won't talk about that until later on in the service. But coming up Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but Tuesday a week, we'll have our senior adult luncheon, and we'll be serving hamburgers and hot dogs with all the fixings. And our guest musicians will be Two Thorns and a Rose. And I need to know by today if you're planning on coming so that we can buy the hot dogs and hamburgers and get that ready to go. So please sign up today, no later than in the morning. Call me and let me know if you forgot to sign up and you want to come. So, and also on Sunday the 23rd, we'll have communion. And so plan to be here for that. And then that afternoon at 4 o'clock, we'll have a roundtable meeting. And as all of y'all know, we'll have a special call roundtable meeting today right after the service. On Sunday, August the 30th, and you've heard me talk about it already, but I just want to remind you each week about it. We'll have our 5th annual block party for the Elon University students. And that afternoon, about 3 o'clock, we'll need help. And I'll give you more details next week about what kind of help we'll need for the week. So now let's stand and let's sing "To God Be the Glory." Let's worship him.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. Please join me in prayer. Liberating God, we seek your journey. With parted waters, set us free. With clouds and fire, guide us. With gushing waters, quench our thirst. With food from heaven, feed us. Draw us out with joy and singing, that we might know your ways. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Denise, for reading that for us this morning. Isn't it nice to have different people coming up and doing different things? I hope you are enjoying that. And if you would like to do that, please let me know. We would love to involve everybody in some point or another. Our next hymn this morning is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Now, this is going to be a little bit different than you're used to. In the middle of it, we're going to go into a different key, which makes it sound minor, which makes it sound weird. But then we get back in the fourth verse of what you're used to. So don't be alarmed when it sounds weird to you. Let's stand and let's sing.
Thank you.
Kramer Hughes was going to come up and do the ministry highlight, but he is under the weather right now. As y'all can tell, last week I had something going on and still have a little bit of it, but I'm much better. The ministry highlight for this week is our August End Gathering, which is the Salvation Army Food Pantry. Our mission in gathering for the month is Salvation Army. You're familiar with Salvation Army because they sponsor our little angel tree every Christmas that we keep out of here in the foyer. But right now, they need help with stocking their food pantry shelves. Look in today's bulletin or in the August newsletter for specific items that they are requesting. Collection bins are located in the communication center out here in the foyer or upstairs in the fellowship hall. If you can't get to the grocery store, cash is always acceptable, and we'll be taking donations for the whole month of August. And what they do is they will collect the cash and then write a check and take it to Salvation Army so that they can purchase items that they need. But thank you for your help for the month. And as always, we appreciate everything y'all do each month. And thank you from the bottom of my heart and from others. Now I'll call on Deacon, whoever that is. Debbie? Okay.
May we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you with hearts full of gratitude and praise for all of the blessings you've given us. From the rising of the sun until the quiet of the night, our days are filled with your goodness. Open our eyes that we may see your hand at work in our lives. Help us to show our gratitude through our service, our tithes, and our offerings. We ask your blessings on the gifts given in your name, that your kingdom will prosper. Help us, Lord, to trust and obey you as we seek to do your will. May all that we think, say, and do this morning bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Gay. I don't know what you guys think, but I think we have a pretty good choir, don't you? I think we need to give them a hand. I sat back here during the first hymn, and I'm like, man, for no more people that's in this church, we're a good congregation singing, too. You know that? We sing. We like the hymns, and we love Jesus. That's what counts, right? All right. I'm here to introduce you to Reverend Larry Hovis this morning. He's been the executive director of CBF of North Carolina since 2004, just 8 years after it began. His responsibilities include bringing diverse parts of CBF, including individual Christians, churches, leadership groups, and staff, together into a coherent and efficient whole to accomplish our purpose of bringing Baptists of North Carolina together for Christ-centered ministry. And it's not easy sometimes, is it, Larry? It's like herding cats, right? Prior to his current position, Larry served as pastor of four congregations, including First Baptist Moxville and the Memorial in Greenville. He's degrees from Union Theological Seminary, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the most important one from North Carolina State University. Go Wolfpack. It's interesting talking to Larry this morning. He went to NC State, and his daughter went to Carolina. I went to Carolina, and my daughter went to NC State. So it's funny how things work out, isn't it? Larry's married to the former Kimberly Lee. Kimberly's with him here this morning. And Kimberly is a retired minister herself. Thank you for your service. And they have one daughter, Lauren, who works as a foreign service officer with the U.S. State Department. So when you get back and get with her, thank her for her service. So this morning, we're glad to have you come and present God's Word.
Thank you so much, Phil. You've been great to be able to communicate with me, to set things up for today. Good job all around, and thank you for your hospitality. Thank you to Gay and the choir and to Jill and all those who've led us in worship today. It has been a wonderful time of worship already, and Kim and I are grateful to be here. This is, I was trying to figure when I was last in your church, and I don't know the exact year, but I'm pretty sure that Mark Mofield was the pastor then. And so that goes back a little ways, but it's wonderful to be back. It really is. Thank you all for your support for our fellowship for CBF of North Carolina. Thank you for your engagement. Thank you for your involvement. Because of you, we're able to pursue our mission of bringing Baptists of North Carolina together for Christ-centered ministry. And that involves embracing our neighbors through missions, equipping churches and their leaders, engaging students and young adults in a wide, wide, wide variety of ministries. But we do all that built on the firm foundation of historic Baptist principles, including the Lordship of Jesus Christ above all, the authority of the Scriptures without coercive creeds, the priesthood of all believers, the freedom of every congregation to order its own affairs, religious liberty for all people, and then cooperation with others to pursue God's mission together in the world. Those are the things that bind us together, and we thank you so much for your involvement in that since the early days until now. I also want you to know that I often find myself in churches during these times of transition between pastors, from one pastor to the other. And I want you to know that one of the big ministries, one of the most important ministries that we do is to support congregations who are in a pastoral transition, just as you are right now. Lou Ann Gillum is my colleague on our staff, who is the one who works most closely with this area of ministry, but she'll call on me and others as well, and we try to bring the larger Baptist community to you so we can be a resource for you during that time, and I have confidence that even as we speak, the Lord is preparing just the person that he wants to come and to be your next pastor. And we want to stand with you and stand beside you and support you as much as you would like as you make that transition and as you seek that person that God has called. So again, thank you for letting me be here today. We're excited. We're glad to be here. But my main purpose today is to be able to preach the gospel to you. So I thank you for that opportunity also. The scripture reading that I'll base my message on is from the Epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. So let's look at that passage together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we also have an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, the preaching, and our response to this God's holy word. Would you pray with me? We thank you, O Lord, for your word, for it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, O Lord, that the same Spirit which inspired your word, the written word, might now enliven the proclamation of your word, so that we might hear with new ears and see with new eyes and respond in new ways to the gospel which is before us, not only for our own edification, but for the good of the world Jesus died to save. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Have you heard the story about Henry and Henrietta? Henry and Henrietta were an empty nest couple whose children had left home when all of a sudden, out of the blue, Henrietta received an inheritance that she wasn't expecting. I guess it was a long-lost uncle that she didn't know she had who passed away. So Henry and Henrietta decided that with this newfound gift, they needed to buy a new house. After months of searching, they finally found it. They were in their new home. As they celebrated their discovery, Henrietta said to Henry, "You know, dear, if it wasn't for my money, I wouldn't be here." Henry didn't say a word. A month later, they moved into this new home, but they didn't keep all their old, tattered, worn-out furniture. No, of course not. They had to buy all new furniture for this house. As she admired her gorgeous, newly furnished home, Henrietta looked over to Henry and she said, "You know, dear, if it wasn't for my money, I wouldn't be here." Henry was stone-faced. A little while after that, they decided that they needed a new home entertainment center. It had one of those big 70-inch flat-screen TVs. You know what I'm talking about. Bigger than the room, almost. It had big old stereo speakers that you could hear and all the latest, greatest gadgets and everything. So Henry decided he would kick back in his brand new Lazy Boy, turn on the TV and watch the ball game on ESPN. I think it was State versus Carolina, Phil, probably, yeah. Henrietta walked right in front of Henry. She put her arms like this. She said, "You know, dear, if it wasn't for my money, I wouldn't be here." Well, Henry had about all he could take. He looked back up with her and he said, "Well, you know, dear, if it wasn't for your money, I wouldn't be here either." Why are we here? It's a really important question. It's a question that we need to ask, not only on an individual level. Why did you come to church this morning? Why did God place you here on this earth? What is your reason for being, your purpose in life? That's an important set of questions that we need to ask. Why are you here? I think it's also a question that we have to ask at the congregational level as well. Why does First Baptist Church of Elon exist? Why did God create this church? Why does he continue to sustain this church? Why did God place First Baptist Church on this particular piece of land, in this particular community, near Elon University, at this moment in history? You know, I think as individuals and as congregations, we spend a whole lot of time asking what's and how's questions, focusing on those things. What are we supposed to do? For example, worship. How are we supposed to do it? How are we going? Are we going to sing words on the screen, or are we going to sing out of the hymnal? Those are the kind of questions we spend a lot of our time asking. Sometimes I think we need to step back and ask a much bigger question, the why question. And I think right now may be one of those times for First Baptist Church of Elon, as you find yourself in this moment in history between pastors. Why are we here? Why are we here? I think there are many places we can look to be able to focus on this why question. But obviously we need to look first of all to the scriptures. And this morning I'd like to look at this particular passage from the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians for us to study and reflect on and seek to answer this question. I do think Ephesians is a great starting point for us, because Ephesians has been called the queen of the epistles. Traditional view is that it was written by Paul from prison when he had time to write without all the normal constraints of his ministry, when he was dealing with emergencies and crises and travels and all those kinds of things. And although it is called the epistle to the Ephesians, most scholars think it probably was a circular letter, which made the rounds from one congregation to another. In this long letter, it's a long letter, Ephesians is, the writer summarizes God's eternal plan to reconcile sinful humanity to himself through Jesus Christ and to accomplish this eternal purpose through the church. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, the passage that I read to you a moment ago, the one that you saw on the screen, that is actually one really long sentence in the Greek. I believe that this long sentence, 3 through 14, is actually a summary of the entire epistle. Now, it's important to notice a few things about this passage. First of all, this passage is Trinitarian in structure. That means that it's divided into three sections, beginning with the Father, proceeding through the Son, and ending with the Spirit. Each section concludes with some form of the phrase, to the praise of his glory. We see that in verses 6, 12, and 14. And I think what Paul is saying here is that each member of the Trinity performs an important function in God's eternal plan for the world. Second thing we notice here is that God's working out of his purpose for creation is not an afterthought, but it's an idea that's been in the mind of God since the very beginning. And it involved choosing human beings, and that includes you and me, to be participants in God's working of his purpose out for the world. Verse 3 says, he chose us in him, that is in Jesus, before the creation of the world. And then verse 11 says, in him, that is in Christ, we were chosen, having been destined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, the third thing we notice about this passage is that the agency or the power through which God continues his working out of his purpose in us is love. Love is the power. Love is the focus. Love is the way. Verse 5 says, in love, he destined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He said it was in love that he chose us. And in love, he is working out his purpose on earth through us, his people. So back up again to the original question, why are we here? Our reason for being comes from God's eternal purpose in creation brought about by love. Ultimately, when you peel back all the layers, it comes down to love. Why are we here, friends? Ultimately, the answer to that question is one word. That one word answer is love. And it's love that can be explored from several angles. So why are we here? We are here, first of all, because God loves us. We're here, friends, because God loves us. Verses 4 and 5 explain that God's eternal purpose involved choosing you and me in Christ as the focus of God's love. Now, this idea that human beings are the object of God's love is not a new thought in Scripture. In speaking to the Israelites following the Exodus, God says in Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love upon you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which he swore to his fathers, that the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And again in the Gospel of John, perhaps one of the best known verses in all of the Bible, Jesus explains it this way. He said, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but it makes a huge difference to know that we are loved. When I know that I'm loved by my wife and my daughter and my family and my friends and my church, then you know I can probably make it through just about anything life throws my way. But if I think I'm all alone, that nobody cares about me, that nobody loves me, then boy, it's pretty hard to make it one more day. There was a woman, let's call her Jill, who grew up in an abusive environment in which her father always told her that she was no good, that she was worthless, she would never amount to anything. When she turned 18, she married an older man who at first showered her with a lot of attention, but soon he began to speak to her and treat her the same way her father did. He verbally abused her and berated her and belittled her. And those three little words, I love you, were words she never ever heard uttered from his lips. She was a poster child for low self-esteem. Then Jill met a co-worker named Mary who befriended her. Mary was a Christian. And over time, as their friendship developed, Mary was able to share the good news of Jesus with Jill. When Mary told her that God loved her, that she was special and valuable in God's eyes, at first Jill couldn't believe her. I mean, it was just news that sounded too good to be true. But Mary didn't give up on Jill. And eventually, Jill began to believe her. Jill began to believe not just intellectually, but also emotionally. She began to believe that God actually really did love her, Jill. And she embraced the love that God has made available to her through Jesus Christ. She said, you know, neither my father nor my husband was ever able to communicate love to me. But I'm so grateful now that I have a Savior who loves me and a Heavenly Father who loves me. And knowing that I am loved completely and supremely and unconditionally by God has transformed my life. And I will never be the same again. So friends, why are we here? We're here first and foremost because God loves us. But there's more. Because you see, love is never a one-way street. Love is reciprocal. We're here because God loves us, but we're also here because God desires that we love Him. He desires a relationship. Now, it is true that God is all-sufficient, and God doesn't actually need our love because God is sufficient in and of Himself, but God is pleased when God responds to His love, when we respond to God's love with our love. And we benefit not only from receiving love, but also sharing love. The scriptures are full of exhortations to love God. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul." Later on, Jesus would say that that is the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So yes, God loves us, so it's only natural that we would respond to God's love with our love. And any authentic, healthy relationship is based on mutual love. Earlier we said that when we know we're loved, then we can probably handle just about anything. The opposite is also true. When the object of our love doesn't return our love, it can be devastating. Long time ago, when I was a freshman at NC State, that's a real long time ago, y'all, I developed a crush on a girl from Meredith. Her name was Kim, and no, it wasn't the Kim that I eventually married, but I guess I have a thing for Kims. I don't know. Maybe so. This Kim, until I met this one right here, was simply the cutest, sweetest girl I had ever laid eyes on, and I wanted to go out with her, but I didn't have the courage to actually ask her out on a date. One night, very late, the phone in my dorm room rang. Remember those phones that would actually be hooked up to the wall? Can some of you remember those days? It was Kim. And when I heard her voice, my heart just fluttered. And she starts talking to me about this dance that's coming up at Meredith. And since there were no guys at Meredith, I knew, I'd already learned this, that whenever they had dances at Meredith, it was always the girls that had to ask the guys out. So I thought, my prayers have been answered. My dreams come true. Kim is calling me because she wants to invite me to a dance at Meredith. But the more she talked, the more suspicious I became. I began to understand something wasn't exactly right here. She said that this thing was a stranger dance. And the way a stranger dance worked was, you actually asked the guy out to go on to the dance with your roommate or your friend. And so Kim wasn't calling me to ask me to go to the dance with her. She was calling me to ask me to go to the dance with somebody else. And I suppose it was a slight consolation prize that she thought of me at all. I appreciate that. But it really, really, really was hard to hear those words. That she didn't really love me the way I thought I loved her. I wonder how often God has been the victim of unrequited love. God showers us with divine love, and yet how often do we fail to respond to His love with our love? Why are we here? We're here because God wants us to love God. Now, God doesn't force our love, but it brings God great joy when we, God's children, respond to His love with our love. So you see, we're here because God loves us, and we're here because God wants us to love God. But there's more. We're also here because God wants us to love one another. It's interesting that when Jesus was asked to name the greatest of all the commandments, He didn't stop with the command to love God. No, because He went on to say, and the second one is just like it, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love of God leads to love of others. In fact, loving others is one of our primary expressions of our love for God. 1 John 4 says it like this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another." Loving God issues forth in love for others, and when we love others, especially the very needy, the ones Jesus called the least of these in the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, that's also called the parable of the last judgment. Jesus says, whenever we love the least of these, it's the same as if we are loving him, which is the same as if we are loving God. Long time ago, in the 4th century, a Roman soldier named Martin was standing guard in Gaul, which would have been France in those days, in the middle of winter. A cold, shivering beggar wearing nothing but a threadbare clothes approached him and asked for a handout. Martin's heart went out to this beggar, but he didn't have anything to give him. So he took his tunic off and gave it to the man after he had torn it in two so each could have a piece of it to wrap themselves up in. And when he wrapped that cloak around the beggar's shoulder, Martin looked into the face of that beggar and he saw that face transformed into the face of Jesus. That expression of loving kindness so transformed St. Martin of Tours that he resigned his commission in the army and became a missionary. And the rest of his life was spent on mission for Jesus, giving his life away to the poor, because he believed that in doing so, he was expressing love for God in no other way, in a way unlike any other that he could do. So back to our main question, why are we here? Why has God chosen to bring us together here at First Baptist Church of Elon in August of 2026 in this time in history? It's a really important question, and this season is a good time for you to ponder that question. It's an important question worthy of thoughtful, prayerful, congregation-wide discernment. And I think we begin by confessing the obvious truth. Friends, we are here for love. Nothing more, nothing less. Just love. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, forgive us because so often we fail to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is love. Love revealed first and foremost in Jesus Christ, the love that you call us to be the center and focus of our lives. Let us listen to your voice this morning, O God, so that we may understand how we might better love you individually and collectively today and in the days to come. For it is in the name of Jesus, the ultimate expression of your love, that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569, "Make Me a Blessing." Let's sing this as a prayer of commitment, a prayer of dedication, a prayer of invitation. If there are those who need to make a decision regarding your relationship with Christ or the church, who simply want the prayers of your church family, I'd be glad to stand down front and pray with you. Let us sing.
Let's stand.
Okay, we will call this meeting to order. And the first order of business I need is a motion from the floor that recognizes me as temporary moderator. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second? All in favor? Okay, that was simple enough. We're moving this along. Want to recognize Phil Thompson, Chair of our Deacons, to make the motion that is our business today.
All right, good morning. Thank you. Give you a little bit of back story on this. The Deacons met on July 9th to discuss the selection of our pastor search committee. We met 2 weeks later on July 23rd to select the pastor search committee to recommend to you all for a vote today. That vote among the active deacons that were present was unanimous, 8-0. And the formal motion I bring before you today is the Board of Deacons of First Baptist Church of Elon recommends the following members to serve as on the pastor search committee. All have been contacted and have agreed to serve. They are Daniel Coble, Leslie Cornell, John Farnham, Sandy French, Kathy Johnson. The alternates will be Kramer Hughes and Phil Thompson. This comes as a motion from the deacons.
Okay, having heard the motion, we're ready to vote. All those in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Welcome the committee, and we send out a lot of prayers and support for this committee. If you need anything, holler. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.